I came across a list of answers that children in England had given on a religious exam. And here are some of them. Noah's wife was called Joan of the Ark. A myth is a female moth. I like this next one. Sometimes it's difficult to hear in church because the agnostics are just so terrible. The Pope lives in a vacuum. And the fifth commandment is humor your father and your mother. And then the best of all is this one. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. So you can just let your imagination go with those if the homily, you know, just isn't speaking to you. Right answers are important, but so are right questions. And so here's the question I want to ask you this evening. How do you measure the day-to-day unfolding of your life? How do you measure the day-to-day unfolding of your life? This is the question presented in our readings from Isaiah and Matthew. And let me explain what I mean by talking about the word time. As you well know, the New Testament was written in Greek. And in Greek, there are two words for time. First of all, there's the word chronos, from which we get the word chronology. It's tick-tock time. Each second is exactly like the one that preceded it. One follows after the other. At times, this kind of chronos time is what we would call humdrum time, drudgery time, meaningless time, empty time. Let me paint you a picture of chronos time. Imagine a convict in solitary confinement. A lawyer who has insomnia, who hears the unrelenting, incessant ticking of a clock, but she knows she needs to be at court for 6:30 a.m. The office worker who hates his job, and it's only 2 in the afternoon, and he cannot believe he's got to be here for 3 more hours. The university student who has a 3-hour biology lab right after lunch. All of these are experiences of chronos time. Chronos time, empty time, time that's void, time that at times must be endured, time that we say is, I just have to kill time. Chronos time, tick-tock time, humdrum time, boring time, routine time. But thanks be to God that in Greek there is another word for time. It's the word kairos. Kairos time is full time, vital time, crucial time, decisive time, God's time. Kairos time, those moments when, so to speak, time stands still. Maybe that time when you saw that person and you fell in love. It might be that time when it's game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals and you just have lost all sense of the time because this is so exciting. It might be sitting with a friend having a conversation. And before you know it, 2 hours have passed and you didn't even realize it. Or reading a book that so engages you, or watching a movie that so transfixes you, or I have this little puppy at home and it's sort of a kairos moment with this little dog that time just seems to pass in being in his presence. Chronos time and kairos time. Kairos is found everywhere in the New Testament. Take this verse at the beginning of Mark's gospel, the time, and here the word is kairos. The kairos time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Here is this word kairos. And we had this same story, but in Matthew's gospel, where he doesn't use the word kairos, but he talks about this kind of time by associating the beginning of Jesus' ministry with a passage from the prophet Isaiah. And he is saying that now that writing that Isaiah had written 700 years ago, now is the time that it becomes fulfilled. And so that's why Mark in his gospel says this is a kairos moment. This is a moment when God enters into Chronos time and changes Chronos time forever. And so today I want to think with you about Kairos moments in a Chronos world, because that's what our life is like. Can we discover these moments of Kairos time in a Chronos world? And there are two that I want to think with you about this evening. A Kairos moment of encouragement and a Kairos moment of inspiration. The word encourage, what a great word. It comes from the French word that means to put the heart into it. To put the heart into it. How long has it been since you had a Kairos moment of encouragement where you put the heart into somebody or somebody put the heart into you? We see such encouragement expressed in that reading from Isaiah. Zebulun and Naphtali, you probably don't know anything about these two places, do you? Maybe you do. And so let me tell you, though, that Zebulun and Naphtali, they were up there in the northern part of Palestine. And in the 8th century, Assyria was the superpower. Assyria came in and took into captivity and then came to oppress and to come and inhabit that part of the world. And our reading says the following: "But there will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought in contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali." When you are occupied, and I've never lived in an occupied country, so I don't really know what this is like, but I would imagine that when you feel like you are being occupied by a foreign superpower, you feel Chronos time big time. You feel gloom. You feel anguish. You feel contempt. But it's right there where all they know is Chronos time that Isaiah speaks a word of Kairos poetry. And he puts it like this: "The people who sat in darkness," that's Chronos time, "have seen a great light," that's Kairos time. "Those who lived in the land of darkness," that's Chronos time, "on them a light has shined," and that is Kairos time. So here we have Isaiah showing a Kairos moment in the Chronos world. Think of the Bible. The Bible, you see, is God's good news. It's God's good news of encouragement in the Chronos bad news cycle of discouragement. Just think how many of the headlines we read, we hear, we see are discouraging. Like the other day, I was listening to the CBC News at 7 a.m. driving up here to church, and in a 10-minute newscast, I must have heard at least of 2 murders and 4 or 5 deaths. It was bad news from beginning to end. And then think how bleak the headlines have been today since President Trump's inauguration yesterday. Everywhere we look and listen, there are headlines declaring that we are walking in darkness, in gloom, and in anguish. But the Bible is God's good news coming from that other kingdom, the kingdom of light breaking into this land of darkness. We need to read the Bible more and read the Globe and Mail less. Not that we should ignore the news in this world, but if that's the only news you listen to, if that's the only news you hear, you're going to think, I just live in a world where there's Chronos time. There are no Kairos moments. It is in the Bible that we have this good news. It is in the Bible that when your ears are attentive to God's Kairos time, which is above and beyond the chronological time by which Peter Mansbridge tells us the nightly news. St. Paul speaks of the Bible as being Kairos encouragement in this beautiful verse from Romans 15. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." This reference from Paul provides an appropriate bridge, joining our Isaiah reading with Matthew. For here is Matthew, living 700 years after Isaiah. And as he introduces Jesus' ministry, He points to this prophetic oracle. And this is what he does. He associates the beginning of Jesus' ministry with a Kairos moment of inspiration. How does he do this? Well, he tells us where Jesus is living, in Capernaum, that land that had been Zebulun and Naphtali. Listen to what St. Matthew writes. Jesus left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled. Now grasp the significance of this detail. It was that place, Zebulun, Naphtali, that had experienced the monotony of the Kronos world, that Jesus breaks in with a Kairos moment of inspiration. And what does St. Matthew tell us? From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, by the way, when Matthew uses the word time here, he's actually using the word chronos, not the word kairos. But here's what he's saying. At that time, in this chronological place, at this particular moment, Jesus breaks in. And he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." What does it mean to repent? It means to find another way of looking at the world. It means to find that there is another kind of kingdom. What do the kingdoms of this world do? They measure everything according to chronology. And the more bent they are on this, the bigger their bureaucracies are. Because bureaucracy is the way you manage. And Kronos time, by its very character, needs such management. The other thing about the kingdoms of this world is that because they exist chronologically in time, they are temporary. Now think of our neighbors to the south. 8 years ago, it looked like the Democrats were established and secure, and reporters were singing notes of optimism. Now, many of those same reporters, at least in what I'm reading, are singing laments. Only 16 states have Democratic governors, and all three levels of the federal government are controlled by Republicans. I am not making a point in favor of Democrats or Republicans. The point I am making is this. It's an illustration that in this world, governments, powers that are exercising authority, are always shifting. They are always in flux. They are always changing. And if you're looking to the government to give you your sense of security, you're ultimately never going to be able to find it. How different is Kairos time? For here things are measured according to God's time, which is not in flux, but eternal. Let me illustrate this with a picture that if this could now go up onto the screen, please. This is Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, which is situated on the Île de la Cité. It is an island in the middle of the Seine. Now, the word nave comes from the Latin word navis, which means boat, or think of the word navy. It's surrounded by high walls, which in turn, as you can see, are supported by flying buttresses, which look for all the world like oars coming out of the side of a ship. Do you know that the church is called the bark of Peter? The word bark is an old-fashioned word for boat, for ship. Remember in our gospel today, Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to leave their boats by the Lake of Gennesaret because he had another fishing trip in store for them. He was calling for them to set sail across the waters of a Kronos world and fish for people so that they could come to know this other kingdom, this other way of measuring time. So here's the application of this homily. Regardless, therefore, of the day on the calendar, the church is always moving through the waters of history and this world's kingdoms, announcing that with Jesus, time means something very different. But we need to look We need to hear. We need to respond. The Kairos kingdom is at hand. Come on board as we are inspired by the encouragement of God's good news to set our course towards heaven's shore. For it is that land, in heaven, where there will no longer be any Chronos time. Kairos time will be all we know in heaven. There, time will indeed stand still. And we will sing these words from Isaiah: you have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing the plunder. It is this kingdom and this way of viewing time that the church is called to announce, regardless of who is governing the chronological unfolding of history. In the year 2017, may we be inspired and encouraged at St. Peter's to see that we are Peter's bark. Now, our church isn't quite as fancy as that, but the point is, that's us. We are on the sea of the world. We are not only part of Peter's ship, we are part of Peter's navy. And it is from the bark of Peter that we can experience and know Kairos moments and so live meaningfully and purposefully in a Chronos world.